It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. Happy Monday to you. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have a purpose. We are at a point in history where we are in a fight for America. And I encourage each of you to do your part. We have a country here that's in deep peril. We'll be talking with retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle in the third and fourth segment. And he has said that our country is in deep peril, and it is up to each one of us to step into this time in history. Thank you to this team. Speaking of stepping into history every day, and that is producer Steve and Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Appreciate all of you. Happy Monday to you, producer Steve.
No, it's the day before Tuesday, and we are definitely stepping in something.
We've got a lot of work to do here. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I appreciate that. We are an independent voice, and we strive for looking for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion. The latest silent thief is inflation. And we're seeing all kinds of force. It's not even soft tyranny right now. It's starting to get more towards a hard tyranny here, Steve.
Well, okay, our package today is just jam full of virus-related stuff. And I'm desperately trying to scroll back to it. I just need to do this copy and paste thing to get the bullet things that I'm really looking for. I can't find it. But what struck me earlier was the dichotomy, which essentially is opposing ideas in all this stuff regarding the virus. And one of them, ones that really slapped me, was by law that they cannot force you to take experimental things. But then the very next sentence or the very next paragraph talked about, well, they found ways around that. There is another superseding law that can make you take the jab.
Oh, really? My understanding is that the Nuremberg Code basically says that we can't experiment on human beings.
Yes, that's exactly what the one that was quoted. But in the next paragraph, it says, oh, well, we found a way around that.
Yeah. Yeah. We see all kinds of different ways to try to get around it, for sure. One thing, this is a picture. Somebody had this on Facebook. But now, hold on here. I want to get to it. This was posted by a doctor. And it's a screenshot of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, updated infection fatality rate and survival rates for COVID-19. And in the age group 0 to 19, the survival rate is 99.997. 20 to 49, it's 99.98. 50 to 69, it's 99.5. And 70 plus, it's 94.6. One has to ask, with these, and this is from the CDC, with these survival rates, why is there all this force and coercion around this vaccine, Steve?
You know, when we first got started on this 18 months ago or so, some of those numbers might have you know, they might have been a little bit more to the negative side than they are right now, because we found ways to deal with it. We defined this whole thing called comorbidities, and it's taking a positive effect to a degree. To be able to quote numbers like you just did, obviously something is happening to the good, but there is all this negativity. And again, I won't say my hat's off. I just can't believe the Denver broadcast media, especially television, and the way they keep drumming fear. They find new ways every day to keep the fear factor going, keep people. And you can see it. You go to the grocery store and the number of people walking around with masks on without a decree. And certainly the intercom is saying, well, we'd like to have our customers, yada, yada, and we require our employees. But I still cannot connect the dot to the mandatory aspect of this. And now it's in our package, too, is the, I won't say creative, it's draconian. It's draconian is your favorite word. Methods that these different companies are considering, like Delta Airlines is going to put up, well, if you don't want to get vaccinated, fine, but we're going to charge you $200 a month.
To their employees. Yes, it is absolutely mind-boggling that that could happen. And we're going to be talking with actually former Army Medical Services Corps Captain Pam Long about this as well in the second segment, and then Afghanistan with General Arbuckle in the third and fourth segment. I'd like to go over, before we get to our quote for today, a couple of great sponsors of the show. First of all is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for dine-in or to-go. They have $8 items, which is their Baja Fish Tacos, their lunch burger, and their smoked wings. Their $9 items are shrimp tacos, chicken tenders and fries, chicken garden salad, and a buffalo chicken garden salad, and a Philly cheesesteak. And then the $10 items, my favorite, is the fish and chips. They have a buffalo chicken sandwich and a Western burger. So a great place to get together with people for lunch. They're keeping the line. They're not inflating those prices right now, Steve. That's pretty amazing in this day and age. So Hooters Restaurants, you can find all my sponsors on my website, as well as just click on the sponsors tab, and I highly recommend each and every one of them. And then, Steve, for the next 3 weeks, we have a great sponsor, and that is U.S. Constitution Week up in Grand Lake, Colorado. Grand Lake is one of my favorite places in the whole world.
I heard one of those promos go out this morning. Mike Treen, the station manager, voiced it. And I think it's that time of year again. Man.
It is. And it will be. It's the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in America. It's September 13th through the 19th. I'd highly recommend you go ahead and get your reservations there. It is such a taste of Americana. I love it. And I'm going to have the great honor of emceeing the main event on Saturday the 18th.
Great. I suspect that you might also be broadcasting live from there, too.
Well, we're going to try to figure that out. We're certainly going to try to do that. But we will have a couple of different shows where we will feature some of those guests. Let's go to our quote for today. I thought, since we were having General Arbuckle on and also having Pam Long on, that I would go to George Washington, who was... did you realize this, Steve? He's actually the only six-star general that we have in America. And this was in a letter to James Madison in 1785. And you know him. He led us through the Revolutionary War, and he was our first president. He was born in 1732. He died in 1799. Here we go. He said, "We are either a united people or we are not. If the former, let us, in all matters of general concern, act as a nation, which have national objects to promote and a national character to support. If we are not, let us no longer act a farce by pretending to it." Those words are very appropriate for today.
Farce and the U.S. government, boy. Hey, can I drag you back to a virus-related thing, though?
Sure.
All right, we all know the Tri-County Health. Douglas County, I think, was the first one to opt out of the recommendation for masks. Not too long after, Adams County basically said, we'll pass. And tomorrow night, the commissioners of Arapahoe County are going to meet and kind of probably they're going to say what they choose to do. What if Arapahoe County chooses to opt out too?
I think that would be a really, really good idea. I hope those commissioners have the guts to do it.
Well, then you want to say, well, Tri-County Health, what's your whole reason for existing? I mean, that's harsh. I understand and I get it. But it just seems like, you know, it's got me scratching my head.
Yeah. So I think you're looking at this from the Colorado Sun. It says the Tri-County Health Department will reconsider its opt-out policy for the school mask mandate. It says the local public health agency overseeing Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas counties will hold another meeting about its school mask order Sunday, during which it may consider its policy allowing counties to opt out of the mandate. It's like, boy, there they are channeling their inner tyrant, aren't they? Tri-County, and I have thought a lot about this, Steve, and it seems to me like we could actually have some free market answers to this. And again, first of all, the opting out policy. But if there are people that really, really want people to wear or want to wear a mask, once again, I think we go to free market answers. And that might be a grocery store might have a mask only time from like 7 to 9 in the morning or something. And then schools might have a classroom that is totally masked and another classroom that is unmasked, where people can make their choice. But we're seeing that the tyrants do not want people to be able to make their choice. And here we are, 18 months in? Remember, it was going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And here we are. But let's go to break. When we come back, Pam Long is on the line, and she is a former captain with the Army Medical Services Corps. She's got some very important information for us regarding this mandate on our military to get the vaccine. So we will be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us and contribute to the work that we're doing. We're searching for truth and clarity by looking at the issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. One thing, producer Steve, I forgot to mention, and that is in the weekly newsletter that comes out on Sunday, we've got an excellent op-ed by Jay Davidson regarding monetary policy. And he's able to really explain things. He's a frequent guest. He's a sponsor of the show, First American State Bank. But excellent op-ed. And then also the podcast that we recorded with Holly with Altitude on election integrity. She's with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And that podcast came out yesterday as well. They're now on my website. So go to Kim Munson, MONSON.com find those. But really, two excellent pieces, Steve.
Well, I see so much come across the different sources that I frequent regarding monetary things. And quite frankly, you know, I don't have a degree in anything like that. So having something like somebody like Jay Davidson to bring it forward for the layman, I can't wait to read it.
Yep, it's really a good piece. Let's move over here to Pam Long. She is a former captain with the Army Medical Services Corps. And Pam Long, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. Good morning.
Well, it's great to have you as well. And I have that title correct now. I almost have it in memory now, Pam, right? A former captain, Army Medical Services Corps, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, great. You are very concerned about this forced mandate on our military. And I wanted to make sure that people, and they may want to print it off and carry it around in their pocket or their pocketbook, and that is Senate Bill 21-142 that Governor Polis signed this last May, and it was a basically kind of an abortion bill, if you will. But in it, it says every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. That is Colorado law, Pam Long. And it looks like with this forced mandate of our military that that is unlawful.
Well, Kim, what you has happened this last week is the most scandalous bait and switch in history. I mean, the FDA announced an alleged approval of this vaccine. But what really happened was, you know, you had, without data, without evidence, without even public discussion, the FDA made this very bizarre announcement about Comirnaty, this new biologic license approval for a future product from Pfizer, was licensed and approved. Therefore, schools and the military and the colleges, employers could mandate it, while also saying in this same document that the existing vaccines on the shelves right now, we're talking Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, they are still experimental, voluntary, under emergency use authorization. And why is that important? That's important because no one can mandate, none of these entities can mandate an experimental drug. And there's also key differences in their legal status. They are legally distinct, even though the document says they are interchangeable. That is, maybe they're the same formulation. We don't know until this product is produced and we have some type of product insert with all the information a consumer would want, such as adverse reactions, contraindications, ingredients, efficacy. But we already have the Pfizer CEO publicly stating that the new product will be variant specific, allegedly, so not the same formulation. But it doesn't matter. It's the legal part that I want our military and our, this morning, our cadets at the Air Force Academy to know, that you cannot be forced or mandated to take an experimental drug. And it's very important that you know the difference. You look at that vial and see what that label says.
Okay, so actually Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Merrill Nass, and a doctor, have a piece at the childrenshealthdefense.org. And it says, two things mainstream media didn't tell you about the FDA's approval of the Pfizer vaccine. And Pam, what you're explaining to me, and actually Patty had explained it, and another good friend of mine, is we had seen this headline that Pfizer had been approved by the FDA, the COVID-19 vaccine. But what you're explaining to me is that it's really a bait and switch. That the FDA has approved something over here, and I have all kinds of questions about that. But that vaccine is not what is on the shelf, and because the one that's on the shelf is still the experimental vaccine, there is no way that it can be mandated. Am I getting that correct, Pam?
You are correct. And why does that matter? It matters because with an experimental drug, all three versions that we have here in the U.S., they are under the PREP Act. And the PREP Act says there is no liability upon the manufacturer for this product. If you are injured, if you are one of those 600,000 people with death or disability reported to our surveillance system, VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, it's on you. You are totally responsible. You participated in a drug trial of an experimental drug. However, if this new product, this Comirnaty, it will have some form of liability unless the manufacturers, who will likely lobby for some type of shield, that because of the rate of injury, the lack of efficacy that we are seeing in our surveillance systems, in our published research coming out of Israel. So it would not fall under our vaccine compensation program for children that it would not have the liability protection that our children's vaccines do. So it's you as a consumer have to decide, am I willing to take a risk where all the liability falls on me? And when you look at the military, I want to give a shout out right now, Kim, because right now, as we speak, parents, citizens of Colorado are driving to the Air Force Academy for a 7 a.m. protest at both gates of the Air Force Academy because General Moga, the commandant, ordered all cadets to get the vaccine this morning.
How could you, as a cadet, here is your dream, that you are at the Air Force Academy. You're just a young person, and here you have the commandant dictate, say that you have to do this, and in the military you take orders. How does a young person stand against this, Pam Long?
Well, and when you read his order that he published over the weekend, you know, he says things in this order, and I can send it to you, Kim, for your newsletter, that even the prior infected are not considered vaccinated. Even if you were prior infected, you need to get this vaccine. He does not mention any lawful exemptions like medical or religious or prior infection, which would prove you have immunity. And then he doubles down and he threatens disciplinary or administrative action. And what that could result in for a cadet at the academy is separation from the academy, some type of UCMJ punishment, which is legal and punitive and goes on your record for life if it's some type of bad conduct or dishonorable discharge. And at the same time, you have these general officers coercing this drug, which will be the experimental version since we don't have the approved licensed version available yet. When you have the right to refuse, cadets, if you're listening this morning, you have Israel, as of Friday, publishing preprint MedRxiv that natural immunity confers longer-lasting and stronger protection than the Pfizer vaccine. We're talking risk of infection 13 times higher in the vaccinated, symptoms 27 times higher in the vaccinated than those previously infected. And you have other studies showing that this immunity, natural immunity from prior infection, two things. One, it's long-lasting, 8 months to a year, maybe lifelong when we look at the bone marrow studies. And then Cleveland Clinic coming out and saying that only one of 1,300 healthcare providers has demonstrated any type of reinfection after being exposed to having a COVID positive infection. People are not getting reinfected.
Well, it's beyond common sense that if someone has had COVID, they've got the antibodies. Why should they be forced to take this vaccination? And it seems to me, Pam, it's always follow the money. And these vaccines have been bought and paid for by the American public. But it seems to me it's like more than money. I just can't figure it out.
It's absolutely more than money, Kim. At this point, when you look at the data on the, you know, Israel saying that this drug has a 40% efficacy, it should lose its experimental use authorization status just based on that. You need at least a 50% efficacy for that authorization. It should have already lost its emergency use authorization. But instead, not only are we still giving it to people, but we're escalating our coercion. We're telling people you will lose your job. Today at 4 p.m., Colorado Board of Health is at the request of Governor Polis. They will probably pass a rule saying that all healthcare providers, and that is very extensive, in all sorts of settings, must get this vaccine. You know, that affects home healthcare people, our first responders, firefighters, all of that. With this vaccine, that the science does not only lack of efficacy, but the injuries are anywhere from cardiac events, lifelong lasting. You know, these are young people. When you think of the Air Force Academy, I don't want you to think of some 6-year-old who has comorbid conditions and has a higher susceptibility to respiratory viruses. I want you to think of a strong young person with a healthy immune system, athletic, ready to serve their nation, being told you must take a risk for a lifelong injury for the rest of your life.
And that is the thing about it, is that if, in fact, something does go wrong with this forced vaccination, let's just take an individual, somebody's son, somebody's daughter. They're at their dream. They're at the Air Force Academy. They're forced to take this, and they have an adverse reaction for the rest of their life. How do they live? How do they take care of themselves? And well, I think that's a big question.
Some people will say to you, Kim, oh, there was a compensation program that no one knows about. And in fact, they are correct. There is a compensation under the countermeasures for this experimental drug. It's a countermeasure compensation injury compensation program. And it pays out roughly 4% of claims. You will not win in this compensation program. And I know that based on the regular system that we have for compensation for the childhood vaccines, where 9 out of 10 cases are dismissed because you cannot get discovery against the manufacturer and prove that they knew that there was a problem. It's you against a very secretive court with little information. You make your case and special masters deny it at a federal level. Most people are not going to be able to navigate that system and maybe take 10 years for some type of compensation with a low risk of, you know, low probability of payout. The average person who's suffering from a chronic neurological condition or cardiac condition, has maybe their spouse or their parent is now a full-time caregiver and unable to work, they are not going to be able to get compensation through this system.
Okay, so a couple of things here. First of all, I saw over the weekend that Denmark is basically, this is from Freedom First Network, that they are abolishing their corona measures there. It says the Danes will no longer have to provide evidence of whether they are vaccinated or unvaccinated, or whether they have tested positive or negative. I find that very hopeful. It's like, hang on here, everybody out there. If you want to get the vaccine, please, you have the freedom to do so. But if you don't, hang on there, because I've got to think at the Air Force Academy that there will be legal action that's going to come in to this, because, again, we go back to Senate Bill 21-142, Pam Long. Governor Pola signed it. He said every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. That is the law here in Colorado. Pam Long, what's your final thoughts?
My hope for everyone listening right now is I have a very good source that says you will see a lawsuit against the FDA on this alleged approval with two different standards for these drugs. And that is very encouraging to me. So people will know and understand the switch and bait that has taken place. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is treason against the American people.
Well, I know. You know, that word treason is a word that we don't throw around lightly. But I tell you what we see happening here is I see actions where there really are crimes, I think, against the American people. So if you are down at the Air Force Academy, know that there are people there. This was late breaking go down, and if you can, you know, brush your teeth and get in your car and go down to the both the gates down at the Air Force Academy today to show your support for our cadets there to stay strong on this. And again, if you choose, if you want to, that's one thing. But this whole force coercion thing, this is something that we need to stay strong on. Pam Long, I so appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with retired Major General, Army Major General Joe Arbuckle about Afghanistan. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I appreciate all of you who support us. Of course, I've got these great sponsors as well. And one of them is U.S. Constitution Week. It is September 13th through the 19th in Grand Lake. It is the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in America. Their website is GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. I'm going to be up there. I have the great honor to emcee the main event, Steve.
Well, I'm just trying to picture. Well, excellent choice on their part, but you're in your, how do you say it? You're outstanding in your field when you're up there, and I don't mean literally agricultural.
You mean this love of our country and the love of the Constitution.
There you go.
This idea that America was founded on, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You got it. So, hey, before we get to General Arbuckle, I just saw this come across from the Wall Street Journal. And this is going to be a way to really make people, young people, mad. China is cracking down on youth video game addiction. No gaming during the school week and 1 hour a day on Fridays, weekends, and public holidays. Now, that may be a real uprising there, Steve.
I'm not a fan of much of anything that's going on in China, but I might have to make an exception on that one.
Well, I'm not sure force is the thing we like to have. So yeah. Let's jump over here to General Arbuckle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good to be with you again.
I feel almost, it's such a somber time in our country. I feel a little sacrilegious that I actually mentioned that about China, but I find China so interesting on this. General Arbuckle, I could not believe it when I saw the headlines that 12 of our Marines and a Navy corpsman were killed in Afghanistan. I've watched with disbelief on what has happened in Afghanistan, and I wanted to get you on to get your thoughts on this.
Right. I don't have words to describe my feelings on it, and I think anybody who's been military feels the same way. It's just it's an absolute tragedy. It's the worst politically driven national security situation that I think we've ever been in the country. And I underline the word politically driven. The sad thing about it is, because it's politically driven, it's perfectly avoidable. It could have been avoided and should have been avoided. And it all has to do with sticking to an artificial deadline of the 31st, that there was no military reason to hold. We should have extended that and conducted this withdrawal in a time-phased, condition-based fashion, maintaining security and control throughout the entire process. And because that wasn't done, it was rushed. It became an absolute disaster, putting our Marines and soldiers and so forth in an untenable security situation there at the Kabul airport, where there was no standoff distance from the enemy. They were exposed in just a matter of feet or even yards sometimes to bombs, like is what happened. It just should have never happened. And I'm just totally disgusted about it.
It should never have happened. And I'm not a military expert, but it doesn't take a military expert to figure out that, first of all, you get the civilians out and you don't leave all of the equipment there for the enemy to come in and the airfields as well. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you don't do that way.
You're exactly right on that one. And that gets back to my time, phase, condition-based planning that should have gone into this. And I feel confident that on the military side, back in that part of the world and back in the Pentagon, they were doing that, had that kind of a plan. And it should have involved keeping our power base footprint there, Bagram Air Force Base, and six or seven other bases like that. And you're right. You don't pull the military out first. They're in the position and have the mission to provide security and control the entire situation. We get our citizens out and the Afghans that we want to get out, the ones that are loyal to us, the workforce. We make certain that our equipment, as you mentioned, does not fall into the hands of the enemy. We make certain that there is a handoff and orderly transition of whatever equipment we do want to leave behind to the Afghan forces so that it does not fall into the wrong hands. We've got to make sure they're ready to pick up the mission and fill the void when we pull out. And on top of that, of course, we leave a certain amount of soldiers behind, troops behind. The figures have been around 2,500 that have been released publicly, just to maintain a presence there, primarily for intelligence gathering and early warning. So, you know, those steps didn't happen. We just got rushed into it, and we see the consequences.
Two other remarkable things have occurred, General Arbuckle, and remarkable not in a good way, and that is the reports that that this administration gave the names of Americans and Afghans that helped us, gave those names to the Taliban, quote unquote, so that they would know to let them through the line there at the Kabul airport. What on earth are they thinking? I could not believe that.
Well, I can't believe it either. It's absolutely insane that the State Department representatives would have done that, and that included, of course, the names of Americans. And so, terrible mistake. We know the consequences are going to come out of that, but that kind of ties into the other point. Our government appears not to know how many Americans are left there. I've heard figures recently of somewhere around 500, 1,000, or whatever it may be. It's one too many. On top of that, again, the Afghans that have worked for us in interpreter capacity and so forth are there, and no doubt their names were on that list. And so the question, the unanswered question from to the administration is, what are we going to do about the American citizens left behind?
Do they have an answer?
It's going to take, I think, overwhelming force, or the threat of overwhelming force on our part, to get them out. But, you know, I'm just talking about the military capability there and what we can do targeted toward the Taliban leaders in particular. The problem is it takes political will to use that force, those capabilities, and the political will seems to be largely lacking or non-existent.
General Arbuckle, you and I have had a conversation for America's Veteran Stories when we talked about your service in Vietnam and the taking Americans off the roof there in Saigon. And you know, this seems like Saigon on steroids to me.
Yes, well, it's exactly on steroids. I think the only real comparison between the two is that both are a humiliation to our country the way that it's turned out. But past that, there is no comparison. In Vietnam, we had a large standing South Vietnamese army that was well trained, well equipped, well supplied, perfectly capable of operating in the field on their own. They flew their own helicopters, their own tactical support aircraft in many cases. Whereas in Afghanistan, the Afghan National Army is nowhere near that competent. And so when we handed off the mission in South Vietnam to the ARVN, Army Republic of Vietnam, they were in a position to make things work until our Congress decided a couple of years later to pull the rug out from under them and stop funding our support, and that led to the fall in 1975 in Saigon. So there's a whole lot of differences between the two. And yes, indeed, Afghanistan is much, much worse.
General Arbuckle, our young Marines, when you look at the names of the people, the Marines and the corpsmen who were killed that day, first of all, and I was looking last night at their pictures, they're young. And I was talking to somebody up in Wyoming. One of the Marines was from the Jackson area. And my understanding is that his wife is pregnant. And I guess they started a GoFundMe for her. They wanted to raise $5,000. And the person told me that within one day, they raised $350,000 for her and the baby. Americans are truly, truly amazing people. But when we go to this mistake, the fact that these young people have lost their lives and they didn't have to, what you just said, I hadn't really thought about it, that the fact that the enemy is right up next to them, that has got to be, from a military standpoint, you always want to have space between you and the enemy. And here they were right there. And then I saw another picture of one of the young Marines, a woman that was holding a baby a few days earlier. This, seeing those pictures, really makes me, I'm angry about it. I'm just really angry about it, General Arbuckle.
Well, we should all be incensed about it. And you're right, as I mentioned earlier, one of the principles in securing a facility or a location is to have a perimeter and have standoff distance as a buffer against any enemy action. And those Marines and I think a couple soldiers and the corpsman were right there on a wall next to potential enemies within an arm's length away in some cases. And they knew that. They knew the risk. They're well trained. They understand security. But yet they were out there anyway, putting themselves in harm's way to help our Americans and our allies get to safety and security. Now, that's a statement of courage.
It is a statement of courage, and I am so grateful for the men and women that put their lives on the line. I want to ask another question, and that is, when I saw that first picture of the airplane of bringing people out of Kabul, that as I really looked at it, near the front there were some women and children, but as I looked at that, there was a lot of young men, Afghani men, on that plane. And first of all, I'm like, well, wouldn't we be trying to get our Americans out first? But I also thought, what kind of men get on an airplane and leave women and children in a country that looks like it's absolutely going to be very dangerous? I couldn't quite understand that, General Arbuckle. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it is hard to explain, and, you know, not being on the ground there, I don't really know the circumstances, so it's kind of a guess, but I would think that those men there probably had some priority because they were in an interpreter role or some other role like that directly supporting American forces. But on that topic, I'm quite concerned about the number of Afghan refugees administration bringing to their country. They're talking about up to 50,000 now. In my opinion, there's no way that that amount of people can be properly vetted to ensure that they're not the bad guys coming into our country. And in fact, I'm confident some will be. So that's troublesome, and I think that's going to bite us in the future. And one more point before we run out of time at the end, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about accountability, but I'll go back to you.
Okay, let's go to break. And when we come back, we're talking with retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle about Afghanistan. And yes, this is very important. Accountability, responsibility. We want to talk about that. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. Hal and Linnea Van Herkey are true entrepreneurs. Hal is a veteran, and because he so appreciates, they both so appreciate our military and our first responders and our veterans, they offer a discount all day, every day to our military, our first responders, and our veterans. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with General Arbuckle.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And the op-ed by Jay Davidson about monetary policy is excellent. And then also the podcast we did with Holly with Altitude regarding the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, what they're doing on election integrity. Great podcast there, so be sure and check that out. On the line with me is retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle. And we've talked about what has happened in Afghanistan. And it seems to me whenever you get the politicians involved in these wars, it's a real problem. Of course, that's also the way America is set up so that we don't, you know, that we aren't controlled by the military as well. But the politicization of this, and then seeing our Marines and our soldiers and our corpsmen die, is somebody's got to be responsible for those decisions, General Arbuckle.
Yes, that's absolutely true, Kim. And along those lines, I'll mention very quickly that we're circulating a letter right now to be signed by retired generals and admirals, flag officers, calling for accountability at the top of the military chain of command, and I'll address that briefly. Our government is set up and should be set up so that the political side is in charge of the military, and that's the way it is. However, at the top of the military, there are two people that are identified as the principal advisors to the President of the United States on all matters regarding the military, and that is the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They are the ones that go in and talk to the President and make recommendations regarding any potential military action or ongoing actions. But in the end, it's up to the President and his role as Commander-in-Chief to make the decisions, and that's what's happening here. However, in this case, because of the magnitude of the consequences of this bad decision, this letter basically is asking the Secretary of Defense Austin and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs really to resign, basically to make a public statement against the decision that the President has obviously made. And again, that normally would occur in a meeting with the President when they offer their best advice to the President and say, look, I think there's a better way to do this. Let's do a time phase withdrawal, etc. If the President says, no, we're going to do it my way, then they have a choice. They can either salute at that point and go execute the order, which is what's happening, or they can tell the President, in all good conscience, I cannot execute this order, and I choose to resign. And that's what we who are signing this letter believe should have happened. And since it didn't happen at that time, we're asking for it to happen now.
And the Secretary of Defense is Lloyd Austin, correct? And is it General Milley who is the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
Yes, Mark Milley, General Mark Milley.
This is pretty, is this ever happened before, General Arbuckle, where you've had flag officers request the resignation of the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe it ever has. Currently, we have about 90 retired flag officers who have signed this, and we started circulating the letter early last Thursday.
That is really, it has been one of my questions as I've been thinking about this, is how does our military feel about this? And this is a pretty gutsy thing to do for these generals or retired generals and admirals to put their name on this letter, yes?
Yes, it's pretty unprecedented. Because of the magnitude of the consequences of this decision, we feel it's appropriate. Of course, each individual flag officer is going to have to make their own decision on that because it is unprecedented. And frankly, there's very little chance that either one of the two will resign, in my opinion, based on this. But rather, we're making a public statement here as retired flag officers, expressing our concern and disgust with what has happened.
General Arbuckle, there was, as you know, I have the America's Veterans Story show, and I've learned a lot over the years. And initially, I think I look like to an Ike Eisenhower and Admiral Nimitz, and I have great reverence for them. Very difficult World War II decisions that had to be made. But I felt that both of them had a love for our country and a love for our soldiers and our Navy personnel that were putting their lives on the line, and so many different quotes that I've looked. So I've had this reverence. And then there was a point that I realized that that sometimes generals and admirals can be more of a political animal. And that was kind of an aha moment for me, that not always did they, it seemed that they always put the country first. And that's what I feel that I'm seeing with Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley.
I'll comment on that. First, I believe that all of our leadership, senior leadership included, still has that love and respect and care for the troops. But the political correctness cancer is toxic, and a quick comment on that. In my opinion, this political correctness has slowly crept into our senior military ranks over about 30 years, going back to the Clinton administration. In 1992, when Clinton ran for president, he ran on a platform saying there's going to be a peace dividend. We'd just come out of the Gulf War shortly before that. And so the attitude was from him, cut the defense radically, and we'll put that money into domestic and social programs. Well, that's exactly what he did after he was elected. In the case of the Army, we had 18 active divisions in the Army, and he cut us down to barely 10. That's a huge, huge cut, and the other services also suffered, perhaps not to that degree. But the point is, that happened. It sent a signal to the military. If anybody spoke out against the cuts and the impacts of those cuts, that wasn't well received. And then fast forward through Bush, things were fine through Bush, and then Obama came in, and he really pushed political correctness into the military, and those with that sort of a vent and approach to duties were the ones that got rewarded and slowly got promoted. And we've all heard stories about the Obama administration of upwards of 200 senior military people leaving or being pushed out, leaving voluntarily or being pushed out because of the political correctness. And now we're into the Biden administration, and the political correctness is on steroids, with things like the critical race theory and Project 1619 being forced as training into our military throughout the Department of Defense. And so my point here is that I believe this critical correctness has infiltrated and slowly come into our military going back about 30 years, and it's accepted at the top level right now, as demonstrated again through this wokeness type training we see in the military. And it's just absolutely terrible. It's going to be extremely, and is extremely, divisive and destructive to our military.
Well, and for a fighting force to be effective, there cannot be division. When you have your life on the line, you want to know that the person next to you cares about you, and that you're not divided, that you have a focus on the mission, and that you're not having all of this divisiveness that is being pushed. And we're seeing it not only in the military, but also here in America in everyday life as well. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. And they're pushing chaos, they're pushing things that are not true. And these are on young people once again. And so what you are doing with this letter, and then also you actually had a previous letter from flag officers as well. And tell us just a little bit about that, General Arbuckle.
Yes, we released that to the public on 10 May, and it started out by saying our nation is in great peril, and went on to explain why. And the overarching theme was, Kim, that we are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time in our history, and that goes back to 1776. And we're fighting against socialism and Marxism, and which is the basis, that ideology is the basis of what we see happening now with critical race theory, where it's designed to divide us into warring camps, the oppressed versus the oppressors. And originally Marx, of course, that was based on economic stuff, but they're now using it based on race and ethnic backgrounds, gender, that sort of thing. So it is designed to tear us apart, and it does do that. And, you know, it starts in the school systems, as you kind of alluded to. But anyway, in this letter, we identified about 12 national security, major national security threats. And each one of them is actually absolutely coming true. And it's on our website. If anybody looks at these, it's Flag Officers for America. .com, and the four, it's number four, flagofficersforamerica.com.
Well, as I'm just thinking today, first of all, I'm thinking about these Marines and corpsmen that were killed last week. And clearly, if we are to get the balance of the Americans out, and I found this is an interesting slide of the tongue, if you will, that the administration has said that they're going to get out every American that wants to get out. I thought that was interesting. But I have a great reverence. I'm so grateful for my freedom to you and to all that have put on the uniform. We've got a minute left. General Arbuckle, what's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, get involved. I've said this before on your show, Kim. Americans have got to stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with this critical race theory and other such teaching in our education system. And fortunately, that's happening in many places across the United States. People have to stand up and speak for their rights, the First Amendment in particular, for freedom of religion, of the press. The censorship has got to be stopped. If people don't do that, particularly at the local level, we're not going to win this fight against the radical socialism and Marxism in our country. And we did put out a citizen action plan, which is also on our website, which offers some ideas on how people can do that besides just the education system, local politics and so forth. But the bottom line is be aware of what's going on. And that is the purpose of our letters, by the way, to inform the people about what's happening from our professional experience and opinion. And then get involved. Stand up and get involved.
That is for sure. And we are Americans, and I'm very encouraged that that's happening. General Arbuckle, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Kim. Thanks for your continued great patriotism and getting the word out.
It's my honor. So, my friends, our quote for today is from George Washington. He says, "It is impossible to govern the world without God. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
I want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.